Are you all abiding as the silent, blissful self? Have you shed the ego illusion and realize your infinite and eternal freedom? There is nothing to do. There is nothing you lack. There is nothing that is missing from your essence that could cause you any suffering. Sri Ramana sums up the problem in three words: chit, jada, granti. Sounds awful, doesn't it? That's the disease that we all suffer from. That granti that makes the ego grunt with pain, but also with lust, with desire for its own suffering. Like the dog that chews the bone until its gums bleed and enjoys the taste of its blood. Chit jada granti, the chit, the infinite consciousness of the one self, eternally luminous, blissful, free, completely transcendent of all worlds, becomes knotted to the insentient corpse and brings it to life and brings itself to death. Why? And once it is understood that the only problem is that your consciousness has knotted itself through identification with the organism, and that you are not the organism, you are immediately free. As soon as the consciousness knots itself to the nervous system, it becomes nervous. Anxiety is created the moment the consciousness identifies with the mortal body, subject to pain and death. And in that identification, it contracts and loses its infinite nature and immediately becomes depressed, deflated, lost, and fearful. And so it suffers from depression and anxiety and cannot get away from either one. And so instead of trying to do that, it compensates with desire, with addictions, with plans, with continual splitting of the mind into new ideas, new ways to try to figure out how to get out of its depression and anxiety. Maybe money, maybe sex, maybe drugs, maybe this or that nefarious scheme, maybe running away to somewhere else, maybe this or that, splitting constantly its self-images, but always an object of desire and an object of repulsion. And its own body becomes both of those. And it hates itself, and yet it desires to remain absorbed in the intensity of its physicality. And it dreads the death of the body that it hates and is disgusted by. What a paradoxical, irrational, ridiculous delusion to be suffering from in adulthood. So how do we get out of this painful quagmire of irrationality. Well, let's hear what Wang Po has to say. He knows a lot. So this is his teaching number 29. Regarding this Zen doctrine of ours, since it was first transmitted, it has never taught that men should seek for learning or form concepts. Studying the way, studying the Tao, is just a figure of speech. It's a method of arousing people's interest in the early stages of their development. In fact, the Tao is not something which can be studied. Study leads to the retention of concepts, and so the Tao is entirely misunderstood. Moreover, the Tao is not something specially existing. It is called the Mahayana mind, mind of the great vehicle, mind which is not to be found inside, outside, or in the center. Truly, it is not located anywhere. So what are you looking for? You're looking for something that can't be found. And you think, if only I find this infinite mind and leave my little tiny mind that's full of pain and suffering, I'll be okay. I have to study how to find this great mind, whether it's God or Buddha or Allah or whatever else you project as being the source of liberation and salvation. And what he's saying is you can't get there by trying to figure it out conceptually. So all the information that we give you that overloads everyone who visits the ashram is not about the Tao. All of it is about the unreal ego in order to get you ready to let it go, to make you see how disgusting, stupid, irrational, and illusory it is. That's all. But then don't keep studying the ego to find out more horrors about it. Once you have enough and you're convinced, let it go. But the real cannot be studied because it's not an object. So the tendency to want to figure things out, to study it, put it under a microscope or a telescope if it's out beyond the clouds in some heavenly realm that you project, whatever, you can't do that with the self. It does not exist objectively because you are it. And you don't exist objectively. The whole problem is, chit jada granti, you identified with an objective form, and it was given a name, and then a history, and a narrative, and a melodrama, and all sorts of little playlets to act in, and character fragments to enact, and all of that, and you got lost in the complexity of its unreal illusory identity. So once you realize it's not real, lose interest in it. Be free of any obsession with the body or the ego or all of its plans that are inherently futile. Okay, so what does he say? Wang Po says the first step is to refrain from knowledge-based concepts. All right? So check that off, okay? No knowledge-based concepts. Don't try to know anything. This implies that if you were to follow the empirical method, and today everyone's an empiricist, trust the science, right? Everyone is doing this, but if you follow this method to the utmost limit, on reaching that limit, you would still be unable to locate mind with a capital M because you are the one that is the mind that's looking for it. And you're chasing your own tail and you can never find it, no matter how good you get at grabbing it. You're never going to be able to hold on to it. So, the way, the Tao, is spiritual truth and was originally without name or title. It was only because people ignorantly sought for it empirically as an object in the world, in other words, or beyond the world, or even an object in the mind. It was only because they ignorantly sought for it empirically that Buddhas appeared and taught them to eradicate that method of approach. But of course, who listens to the Buddha, right? You worship the Buddha, but you don't actually listen to him. Okay? Same with Christ, same with Socrates, same with all of them. It's very interesting, you know, all of the people who were put on the highest pedestal in history, if you look at them, Socrates, Jesus, Buddha, Zhuangzi, these people who are considered the great models of morality, most of them were criminals. Socrates was executed with hemlock because he corrupted the youth. Corrupted the youth? Okay, but that's the way he was seen. Christ, crucified, a death penalty, executed as a criminal who broke the religious laws. Did he really? But see, he was a rebel not just against the Romans, but also against the Pharisees, the hypocritical Jews. So it was much harder for the Jews to accept him as a culture hero, and especially once the Romans took him on, not as an enemy, but as their own icon. So the ego is able to flip everything around and turn a force for liberation into a force of oppression. Same thing you could say with Buddha, who is considered this ideal of morality. Well, he left all of his duties. He was a prince supposed to be on the throne, taking care of the political realm, and he said, I'm out of here. Not only did he leave all his duties behind, he left a wife and a newborn child. Is that being dutiful? Did he follow any dharma in that? Or did he break every possible rule in order to be free? You see, he didn't care about conventional morality. He wanted the truth. Do you want the truth that much that you're willing to break every possible rule that your ego tells you you have to keep because it wants to keep you under its control? What is real morality if it is not becoming one with the self? Okay. I'm not telling you all to become criminals, rebels, and executed corruptors of youth. But nonetheless, don't be hemmed in by false assumptions about what you ought to do. Okay. So, fearing that nobody would understand, these Buddhas, who were not listened to, selected the name Tao for their approach. You would not allow this name to lead you into forming a mental concept of a road, would you? No, the way is not some path to somewhere. So it is said, when the fish is caught, pay no more attention to the trap. Okay? But what fish is it you want to catch? You see, you have to understand that it's your own self, and you are the trap. So, when body and mind achieve spontaneity, the Tao is reached. Okay? Important sentence. Body and mind must reach spontaneity. In other words, no more preconceptions, no more plans, no more posing, no more style, no more attempts to create an effect. And that's all the ego is about, isn't it? How do I look? How do I come off? What effect am I having? Etc. The self-reflexive attempt to capture the image in an ideal way rather than to know the real. Okay, so a shraman, and that's the origin of the word shaman, and shraman means a monk that has realized the real. A shraman is so called because he has penetrated to the original source of all things. The original source of all things is chit, pure awareness that has not knotted itself to the body. So the fruit of attaining the Shraman stage is gained by putting an end to all anxiety, anxiety that comes from being knotted to the nervous system. It does not come from book learning. It can't come from concepts, even though we're reading from the book, and I hope you're learning. But what we learn is, put the book down once you get it. Don't keep reading. Silence the mind and realize you are already the Buddha now. Don't become addicted to the fish traps. Realize you are the fish and cook yourself well right now so that there is no more raw ego meat that wants to be eaten or any desire to have anything that you are not already and eternally realized as. So it is that freedom from desire that comes from a sense of lack, that comes from identification with a body that has no essence and is a very temporary phenomenon with a short lifespan. And the mind is unhappy with its condition of anxiety and depression. And the mind cannot become happy no matter how much it learns, how complicated it becomes, how many concepts it can impress people with. It only finds happiness in silence. So may we all reach the bliss of the silent self that lets go of its knot. Because the knot is just a grip. It's not that you are tied by some other power that has handcuffed you to the body. You have grasped it and you have chosen it as your object of adoration. And when you simply let go, you are free. And the power of the real is given, and the dream is no longer keeping you from being awake. May we choose the empowerment of the Supreme Reality and completely let go of any interest in the phenomenal illusion and transcend the field of time and space to find the luminous mind as the essence of what you are, infinite, eternal, and all-powerful, and absolutely filled with bliss. Feel it now. Be the self. May you feel the peace that is no longer disturbed by an invasion of the self-snatchers that would take away your silence with a deluge of signifiers of bodily delusion and desire. May you know the peace that cannot be invaded, that never departs, and is never forgotten, that abides in the heart as your awareness of being. And may you know the supreme core of that peace as the infinite luminous power of the presence of the Almighty Supreme One. And know the eternal liberation that is here now. You are that. You are the one. You are the light. You have the power. Realize who you are beyond the body, beyond all thoughts, beyond anxiety, beyond depression. Be the infinite, uncreated, absolute. That is all that is real. Namaste.